Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Xcel Energy is playing hardball with customers who are trying to refuse those new smart meters that report your power usage in real time. People tell our Marshall Zellinger they've been threatened with having their power shut off. We absolutely do not recommend pulling a gun on the utility worker like one woman did in Westminster.
More with Xcel Energy. We're here to swap out your electrical meter.
Xcel Energy was supposed to install all smart meters by 2024. The company says it's done 1.6 million with about 6,200 to go, like the one Aaron Duran did not want.
Letters have been sent out. If we can't get to that meter today, you guys risk losing power.
I had opted out. I did not want it on my house.
Duran said when a utility worker came to his home in 2022, he opted out of a smart meter.
The minute I said no, it should have been no.
Xcel told me even if he told a worker no at the door, opting out requires calling customer service. The company also says before they turn someone's power off, they will reach out with mail, email, and phone calls. The last step is this letter saying the customer has 12 business days to respond or service may be disconnected.
Yeah, I do remember them doing that. I also have not read those letters because I did not want the meter. So that could be on me. But when you state 4 years ago from now that you don't want something, you don't want something.
Duran's power was shut off when the workers were denied access to install the smart meter.
My daughter had a baby about a month ago, and I cannot have no electricity in the house with the newborn baby in the house.
Duran says he reluctantly said yes to the smart meter. In Thornton, another customer told us he went through the same thing recently. Workers at the door saying they were there to install the smart meter or shut off power. A third customer in Westminster called our newsroom with the same story, but she left out the part about a gun. This affidavit says the utility workers saw a barrel of a handgun point through the fence. That customer was arrested for menacing, and she had a smart meter installed because workers will not go there to manually read a meter where workers were threatened. They won't read Duran's meter either, since he took the smart meter.
Xcel wants to get rid of those old meters, except they also want to be paid for them. As part of Xcel's latest rate hike request, about $84 million is for old meters Xcel already replaced with smart meters. Xcel replaced them before their life ran out and wants to be paid for the unused life of the old meter. The staff that guides...
What?
I know.
What? Sorry.
This is utility work. The staff that guides the PUC has recommended to the PUC do not pay or allow Xcel to build that $84 million into the rate case. But Xcel says, look, they knew ahead of time when we made this deal about smart meters in 2016, 2017, that we were still going to need to be paid back for the old equipment.
And this is how it works, right? Like, the Xcel is obviously a very profitable company, but their actions are governed by the state regulators. So whenever they want to reach into people's wallets, they have to ask the state regulators, y'all cool with that?
Ahead of time, and they project what the cost will be. I have this battery in my pocket. So like, I paid, like, let's say this was battery was $3. It's going to last me 5 years, but I replace it after 3 years. I still expect to get that $3 worth out of it, plus a little extra. And that's what Xcel is saying. It's like, we need to get paid what we were promised when we installed this in the first place.
This stuff is fascinating. It's mind-boggling. And again, our takeaway is, don't pull a gun. That makes you the problem. Okay, good takeaway. Marshall Zellinger, thank you. It's quitting time for legislators at the state capitol. Today's the last day of the session. About 200 bills have been passed. One bill would require social media companies to fully comply with search warrants within 72 hours. Another bill reshapes RTD's board of directors to try and get some of the dysfunction out of that transit agency. There's a bill rolling back overtime protections for farm workers across our state. And another asks voters to give back their TABOR refunds to better fund schools. And legislators finalize the state budget, which makes cuts to Medicaid to balance a $1.5 billion shortfall. Last day of the session was relatively quiet compared to past years. There were some contentious debates that were decided today, though. Democrat-backed bill to regulate the sale of gun barrels, that died at the 11th hour. Democrats did pass a bill requiring college health centers to provide abortion medication unless they have a religious objection to doing that. And there's a bipartisan bill that could become the first law in the nation to limit the amount of deposits that sports bettors can make into gambling apps each day, how much money they can put in a day. Governor hasn't used his veto pen yet this session. He is expected to veto a bill that would make it easier for unions to organize, vetoed the same bill last year. By waiting until after the session ends for these late arriving bills, that gives the governor an advantage because legislators can't override his veto unless they happen to come back for a special session. For some, Denver's rideshare scooters and e-bikes are a hazard to dodge in traffic or on the sidewalk. For others, they're an occasional way to risk wrecking yourself during a night out in town. And for another group, they're a lifeline to get around the city cheaply. Our Evan Krugel shows us how Denver's trying to swap scooter providers without leaving that last group behind.
At Denver's Mi Casa Resource Center, helping navigate change is what drives Angeles Ortega.
Well, we all encounter change, and a lot of times it tends to be a very difficult change.
Change is constant here as the Resource Center helps people find education, jobs, and ways to get to them.
Yes, I never thought myself that I would be working for an organization that would be educating about how to use transportation on the streets. Never thought about that.
But over the weekend, Mi Casa hosted a resource fair, helping people navigate the city's change from Bird and Lime scooters and bikes to VIO. Low-income riders who qualify will get 1 hour of free riding every day, but they have to sign up for VIO's access program.
So it could be really intimidating. So having the company here educating our community is really, really helpful for our folks.
So all things are going well.
Alex Keating works for VIO and says more than 20,000 people have signed up for the VIO Access Program in their first 13 days in Denver.
Over 4,500 have completed verification all the way through.
Alex is confident those numbers will continue to climb as Bird and Lime officially leave the market on Friday. But he admits they could take a hit over the next few days after Lime announced 1 cent rides through the end of the week as a way to say thank you for 8 years of service in Denver.
That sounds like fun. I can't comment on their pricing schemes. I think that they're, you know, I appreciate that they're doing everything they can to ramp the system down. And, you know, I think it's great to reward the riders that have been using that system over the years. So good for them.
Now, those 1 cent per minute rides could be hard to come by. I drove around for about 30 minutes earlier getting video. I only found one Lime scooter. As for the transition over to VIO, they are still allowing people to opt in to that low income access program using the honor system. But that is expected to change in the coming days or weeks as they begin requiring riders to prove they are eligible in order to get those benefits. Kyle.
When do they stop playing Frogger on the sidewalks?
Yeah, of course, that's the big question. We've gotten a lot of that into our inbox this week. Essentially, they have until July 1st, according to the city's ordinance, to make those changes. However, VIO tells me they're hoping to do that sooner. Right now, they're testing out that technology that'll essentially warn drivers and then stop them if they're on sidewalks and not on roads where they're supposed to be.
Evan Krugel, thank you.
Denver is full of singles looking for love, hoping for a shot. For singles opposed to a shot, there was an anti-vaxxer dating event scheduled for later this month until it was canceled today by a popular bar. Recess Beer Garden in Lohi says they were not consulted by the organizers from the dating platform Unjected. It's like any other dating site, except you know what you're going to talk about for the entire date. Unjected's founders describe it as, quote, the world's first COVID-19 unvaccinated dating platform, where users can opt for an official upgrade from simply their partner's promise that they didn't get vaccinated to actually getting a signed affidavit through the site. Unjected's going on a national tour inviting singles who oppose vaccines, not just the COVID shot, to meet up and perhaps swap droplets if all goes well. But after word of this event started spreading like a vaccine-preventable illness, a spokesperson for Recess says the event is off. The bar says the organizers didn't follow their policies for hosting large events and also cited escalating safety concerns. All right, what do you say we do some good in Colorado? Your weekly microgiving has raised $18 million in 6 years. And as we take this show on the road to the Western Slope on Friday, let's help an organization there that is helping women and families in crisis find stability and hope. This week's Word of Thanks microgiving campaign supports the Joseph Center in Grand Junction. Their guests ring a bell to celebrate big wins in life. Wins like getting housed, getting a job, getting their kids back in their life. And the bell rings there a lot. Mona, the woman who leads the team at the Joseph Center, tells me that everyone who walks through their doors is somebody's mom, grandma, sister. She told me we want to serve them with dignity. Serving them with dignity means providing a safe place to get off the street and meals, substance abuse classes, counseling, maybe a rent deposit, medical care. A particular focus at the Joseph Center is their Golden Girls program for older women who find that their lives have fallen apart, sometimes after the loss of a spouse or a career. The Joseph Center helps them to get back on their feet. And then the bell rings. They told me, if the Joseph Center does its job right, we won't see them again. I would like them to see our state's generosity. Scan that QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 to get that link to donate. You know, even $5 helps. I'll never ask you to give to a cause I don't support personally, so I'll match the first 50 donations of $5 to get us rolling. We are coming up on 8,000 of you signed up to make a monthly pledge to the Word of Thanks Fund. Put in your info one time, pick an amount, your donations automatically split among all the nonprofits we feature. We expect that to add almost $50,000 to every weekly campaign in May.
That moment of hitting the horn every time is a blast to me. It's probably one of the top moments of my job.
We have been hearing a lot of that horn as the Avs make quick work of opponents in the playoffs. We talk to the man behind the omnipresent sound. Next. Meteorologist Chris Bianchi, we talk about spotty showers from time to time. Let's talk about spotty winds.
And that's what we're seeing right now. And if you're flying in or out of the airport right now, it is a bumpy ride thanks to this, what we call dry microbursts. And yes, there will be a quiz at the end of this. So we got a lot of dry air at the surface, but it is raining way up there. You look outside right now, a lot of you seeing some scary looking clouds, but that rain is mostly evaporating before it hits the ground. And as it does so, it releases a whole lot of cool air, which rushes down towards the surface. Point being, you're seeing those localized bursts of wind around the metro area, mainly the South Metro right now, thanks to what I was just describing. So you're joining me from Castle Rock, Castle Pines on South and East through Parker, Elizabeth, Kiowa. You're seeing those dry microbursts right now. And we've seen some winds up to about 50, 55 miles an hour on the south and east sides of the metro area. Had a 51 mile an hour gust at the Buckley Space Force Base about an hour or two ago. Today it was 89 officially first at the airport, but tomorrow 85 right near our daily record. Here at 9 News, though, it did hit 90 and also hit 91 at Central Park earlier today. So a very warm day, warmest day so far here in 2026, but we're going to slowly slide down and get a better chance for some showers and even some mountain snow this weekend. So fingers crossed here, folks. It's looking pretty promising that Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, we're going to put another dent in our drought. So some good news just around the corner, also cooling down with temperatures only in the 50s for Monday and Tuesday.
One man, one button, one very loud noise. If he messes up his job, everyone hears about it. That's next. But hey, a reminder, you can catch this program streaming each weeknight, 6 p.m. on 9 News Plus. Did you know that it's free? We should mention that it's free. We're a podcast wherever you find those. Let's tick off some famous horn blowers throughout history. Louis Armstrong, Dizzy Gillespie, Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho. And then there's the dude who hits the goal horn every time the Avs score, which has been a lot this season.
Attention in the Arena Bowl. We will be testing the goal horn several times over the next 10 minutes. That moment of hitting the horn every time is a blast to me. So I'll just do one long one first. My name is Brandon Mestis. Oh, I got to turn it on. Oops, my bad. I'm the game pres manager for the Colorado Avalanche. Yep, I'm the guy that hits the fun big red button for all Avalanche goals and Avalanche wins. So I'm watching the game, I'm watching the refs. When they signal goal, I'm hitting that goal horn. Goal horn is once again all kind of vibe, seeing the moment of the game, what goal it is, what team we're playing, playoffs, regular season. So a lot of factors that go into a goal horn. This is my first full season being the primary show caller and hitting the goal horn, and never once did I think about the analytics of my goal horn until I saw Scotty post it.
That the goal horn went off a total of 40 times in game one.
Now every time I'm hitting the horn, I'm kind of thinking about it in the back of my head, but it's fun stats. First goal of the game kind of gets a little extra, or if it's a big moment goal, power play goal, we tie the game late in the third. Obviously in playoffs and against rival teams like Minnesota and stuff, it kind of gets a little kind of little extra juice there. Hitting my first one ever was a moment, but I think my favorite one was actually game two of the LA series. That overtime was the first overtime playoff goal horn I got to hit. It was just kind of, the energy in here was awesome. I was hyped up, everyone up here was hyped up. So just giving it, I mean, the game was over, so just giving it that extra and just letting the atmosphere in here just be electric. So that's probably my favorite. And it was on my birthday too. So kind of all came together very nicely. Got to hit it a lot this season. It's been a fun season.
So the Avs horn guy reminds me of one of my all-time favorite stories here at 9 News. The Broncos horn grandma that we met almost 20 years ago. Jerry Priest got a criminal citation for firing off her homemade Broncos horn to celebrate every score that she saw as she watched games at home in Adams County. It's a bit of my story from 2007.
There's six automotive horns.
Each welded to a dolly with a car battery and a relay switch, and well, you take a listen. Until a neighbor complained and the cops came for Grandma.
Who lives here? You guys, can I talk to you over here for a second?
You gonna be okay? Grandma gonna be okay? All right.
I just wanted to come and check this out and see what this is all about.
Plenty of people on the street like Jerry's horn.
And it's not that big a deal. It's only during the game.
Even neighbors on the other side of the fence.
We love it.
Aren't on the other side of the fence.
If I'm out in the yard working and can't be watching the game and I hear the horn, then I know they scored.
But police say it only takes one person crying foul to send Jerry to court.
I mean, can you see them putting me in jail? I mean, my God. Well, I keep thinking, am I going to go to jail?
Jerry did not go to jail. She did go to court, though, and she eventually agreed to give up her Broncos horn so it could be auctioned off to support the Boys and Girls Club. I talked to Jerry on the phone today, 19 years after we last spoke. She told me she's about to turn 88, said she's doing fine for an old lady, and that she still watches every Broncos game. Back with your feedback next. We are taking Next on the road to the Western Slope this Friday, and we're going to bring the generosity of the Next community along with us. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 to join me and a bunch of other people in supporting the work of the Joseph Center in Grand Junction. They are well respected out there for their work fighting homelessness and poverty with a special focus on the needs of women and families. Their director told me they don't aim to be a Band-Aid. They want to help people fix their underlying challenges so that they can stand on their own again in life. And they find a lot of success there at the Joseph Center in Grand Junction. Finally, your feedback. Deanna writes in to say, your ability to keep a straight face while reporting on some of the most ridiculous things is an inspiration to this HR director who doesn't have a poker face at all. Deanna, I want to hear more about how you have managed to carve out a career in HR if you don't have a poker face. Because admit it to me, a lot of the stuff that people get in trouble for at work through HR is objectively really funny stuff, right? Come on, admit it. It is. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.